This Bible teaching on Revelation and End Time Truth by David E. Ball is titled, Who Are the Two Witnesses?
First, we want to talk about the two witnesses, so if you'll pull that paper out, please. Now, some of you were looking at the funny pictures, so I guess I better try to explain them. Up at the right is a picture of a lamb. The picture of the lamb. Now this thing in the front of his head is a seven-branch candlestick. And those seven lamps of fire are seven eyes of this particular lamb. You'll see why we drew it so strangely after we get into the scripture. Under the lamb is an olive tree. This is an olive tree. Olive trees seem as though when they come up out of the stump or out of the ground, have all kinds of shoots that come up, almost like a rhubarb plant or something like that. It's a tree that instead of having one trunk, it's got a whole lot of these trunks. This is a seven-branch candlestick connected to an olive tree with a golden pipe. A golden pipe is connecting this seven-branch candlestick to this olive tree. That's the picture that we have right now. Then the scriptures that we'll be taking, we're going to try to show by scripture that this seven-branch candlestick is really a symbol for seven churches. Then we'll look and see that the seven lamps of fire that are before the throne are seven spirits. This will give us idea that the seven churches should give forth the seven spirits. Also, we'll find scriptures that indicate that the seven spirits are the seven eyes of the Lamb. Well, if the seven spirits are the eyes of the Lamb, and the seven spirits are the lampstand, that means the lampstand is the eyes of the Lamb. Also, we know the lampstand are the seven churches. Therefore, they're all the same thing. On the bottom of your chart, you'll find out candlesticks equal lampstands equal churches equal seven spirits equal the eyes. It's all synonymous. We'll try to find some scriptures to show, we have these scriptures, we'll try to read these scriptures to show that these are all the same thing. Then after we see that all these things are the same thing, we'll read some scriptures, both in Old Testament and New Testament, concerning the destiny of the church and what it is that the church is to do. How the church is to exhibit these powers. Am I making sense to you on this? First, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. We have a lot of Bible reading tonight. I hope that we have enough time. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, this is the first indication of what we're trying to project tonight. Chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Therefore, when we see this candlestick in Scripture, we know that the candlestick is symbolic of the what?
Seven churches.
Of the church. When we see the candlestick throughout Scripture, we'll find the candlestick lots of places. We'll see it in Revelation, Zechariah, and other places. The candlestick is a symbol for the church. Now, how many know that the church is supposed to be giving off a brilliant light? See? Isn't that right? He said, like a candle hid under a bushel? Uh-uh. He said, no, it's up where everybody can see it and get the benefit of this light. But this candlestick, word for candlestick, is a little bit of a problem because the King James calls it a candlestick, but most of the other people who have a modern version, what does your version call it? A lampstand. The reason is it's literally a lampstand. It's a stand made out of gold. On the top are lamps. And through a peculiar method of piping, perhaps even capillary action, there is a bowl of oil which feeds these lampstands, and these lampstands burn lamp wicks on top of this seven-branched lamp stand. Not candle like we figured, you know, with wax and a wick, but one of those, can I say Aladdin type? If I say Aladdin lamp, everybody knows what I'm talking about, don't you? It's that kind of a thing. And out toward the end there, this little wick. And the wick is kind of like a rope, really. It sticks down this little hole, and you pour the oil in this end, and it runs through the lamp and comes out the wick, and they set this wick up. That's basically what it is. And there's seven of these on top. Now, these are gold, of course. Now, while we were over in Israel, we had the opportunity of purchasing one of these little lampstands that was made out of clay. And it was the same pattern or the same lampstand that they had dug out of the ruins around Megiddo. So we took it home, and because the clay wasn't fired and wasn't real hard, we dipped it in varnish, and then we use it as a lampstand now, and it works all right, works pretty good as a clay lampstand. This lampstand in the Bible, when Moses first had it made, was made out of one talent of gold. A talent is 158 pounds, and he says you just start taking that gold and pound it out till it's a flat piece, and then you're to wrap it around. And I suspect that this is probably, it says a beaten work shall be made. And this lampstand, at least originally in Moses' time, was a hollow gold fancy work. It had what they called noops and flowers and all these kind of things that make up the arms of the lampstand. We'll see more about that in a minute. This is a symbol for the church. It tells us in the book of Revelation, I saw this seven branch lampstand. One monk walked among the candlesticks, or lampstands, you remember? He was to look upon, while his face was like the sun, do you remember? Hair like white like wool. Out of his mouth proceeded this sharp two-edged sword, girt about the pass with a golden girdle, down to the feet with his fine white twine linen. He had keys of death and hell, you remember? And he raised his hand, and in his hand were what? Seven stars. The seven stars are what? What did we just see in verse 20? They're symbols then. Stars are angels. Now, what did we find out about the word angel a little while ago? Does this mean that the seven churches have seven things that got halos and wings? Is that what this is all about? No. The word angel doesn't necessarily have something to do with a halo and a wing. In fact, we can't find anywhere in the Bible that the angels have wings. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Somebody said they had a vision of an angel with a wing. That's all right. Because seraphim and cherubim do have wings. And it might be that angels have wings. It's just that I don't know the chapter and verse that say that angels have wings. Is that okay? Is anybody mad? Boy, you sure did look startled there for a minute there. Now, I'll admit that on the Christmas cards, the angels have wings. So it's all right with me if your angels have wings. However, you know that in the Bible it says that some people could even entertain angels unawares. Is that right? Well, I'll tell you something. If somebody came in here with a halo and wings, I'd be aware. Wouldn't you? I'd know something was going on if I saw them like that. The word angel, angelus in the Greek, doesn't necessarily mean something with halo and wings. In fact, sometimes the word angelus, angel, means messenger. And some of your new Bibles have this word translated as a messenger, not an angel. Does anybody have one like that where it's translated here, messenger, not angel? For there are seven messengers to the seven churches. And this angel could easily be a real life, flesh and blood, human being, man or woman, who knows, who is a messenger to the church. Right? Do you remember in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said, do it not, for I am of thy brethren, the prophets that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I fell at his feet to worship him. He said, don't do it. Because I'm a brother. I have the testimony of Jesus. Do angels, I'm talking about the ones with a halo now and wings, do they have the testimony of Jesus? No, they desire to look into salvation. Isn't that right?
The angels want to look into our salvation because they don't have any sin. And you know what I'm talking about here. And so, and then they're not prophets. See, these guys are prophets. And so, the word angel doesn't always necessarily mean what Michelangelo made us think it meant. It could be something entirely different.
In fact, there may be an angel or two around here tonight.
Did Mom ever say, Mama's little angel? Did she ever tell you that? Mama's little angel. Huh?
Well, it could be. For you see, an angel is a messenger from God, bringing God's message, especially commission.
Okay. Now, these angels, seven stars, seven angels. Then the seven churches are symbolized by the seven lampstands, and we'll find out their destiny in a minute. Now go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, Revelation 4, 5, for a similar idea or amplification on what we're trying to get across. In chapter 4, verse 5, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the what?
Seven
spirits of God. Well, we've just found out that the seven lamps are the seven churches. Now we find that the seven lamps are the seven spirits. Therefore, the seven churches are the seven spirits. Let's do that again now. The seven spirits are the same as the seven churches. In other words, what we're trying to say is the manifestation of the Spirit is always through the church. That makes sense, doesn't it? How's anybody going to know that the Spirit of God is being manifest unless you manifest it? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works on us. Our minds, he said, you know, I bring it to your remembrance and all these kind of things. We then manifest. We then show forth the Spirit. The Spirit is shown forth by the church. There are seven spirits. Did you ever wonder what they were? Okay, well, you didn't wonder, so I'm not going to tell. Oh, you did wonder. All right. Here's a little picture that's based on the seven spirits of God. They're defined in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. In Isaiah chapter... Now, you'll have to copy this one because I didn't make a copy for you. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, he said, I will put the Spirit of the Lord, and it shall rest upon him. In Revelation, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, we found that the Spirit of the Lord is to rest upon the branch. It tells you very clearly that the Spirit of the Lord... Whoops. Is anybody getting fuzzy-eyed? Yeah. Well, I can stop that now. Here we go. I wonder what this will sound like on the tape. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the branch. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Isn't that right? I'll turn that up a little bit so you can see it now. It's the Spirit of the Lord, which is the center column of this candlestick. It rests upon the what? The branch. In Isaiah, it looks like I got a problem, so I'll go back and turn to it right now. Isaiah. Got it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, Isaiah. Chapter 11. We'll read it. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's the branch. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The seven-branch candlestick always has been symbolized by a center column which is called the candlestick or the lampstand. The lampstand then has six branches, one on each side, though the whole thing goes by the term or terminology of lampstand. The center column goes by the term of lampstand.
There are scriptures in the Old Testament that confirm that, but I forget what they are right now, and I didn't have time to check them out. The center column is called a lampstand. The side branches, 6, 3 on one side and 3 on the other, are also a part of the total lampstand. So the word lampstand includes the center one, also the whole 6, or the total of 7. It tells us that these are to rest upon the what?
Branch.
The branch. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the
branches.
Therefore, we would expect coming up out of the branch the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the might of the Lord, and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of might. All these 7 spirits are to rest on, or actually come forth from the branch. And we are the branch. Isn't that what it said? Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Now that was in Isaiah. But we got exactly the same conclusion when we read it from Revelation. In the book of Revelation, he said, look, the candlesticks, they are the 7
churches.
And we just found that out, because this 7 branch thing fits on the branch, and we are the branch. Have you been abiding in the vine? That's where you get your power. Did you ever sing the song, Abiding in the Vine? That's where it comes from. Out of the vine, through the branch. Then it's manifest by the light. The light then must be manifest by the candlestick. Who is the candlestick? We are the candlestick. Therefore, the light must come from... If we're the candlestick, then where does the light come from? Us. Where does the power come from? Now watch. No, the Spirit is the power. Now let's do it again. I've got problems. The oil. The oil is the power, isn't it? The oil is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. Now, if the oil, Holy Spirit, is in the candlestick, then the candlestick can give off light. Do it again. Out of the branch flows the power, which is coming from the branch, the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Now, actually, the truth of the matter is, it's really coming from the vine, and really the root of Jesse and so forth. And that's Jesus Christ. Then it comes up from the vine, through the branch, then it's manifest to the world as the flow of the oil, which is the flow of the Holy Spirit. And that oil of the Holy Spirit then comes up and it lights or provides the power for these lamps. Thus, the church is a candlestick. Isn't that what he said? And the church, as a candlestick, has no ability to produce light unless the church is full of, say it, oil. And that's the symbol for the Holy Spirit. So as the oil fills the vessel, which is the church, which is you, then you can be a burning flame for Jesus. But without the flow of the oil, without the Holy Spirit, come on now. Do you remember it tells you in the Bible that they had the form of godliness but denied the power thereof? Now what's the power to make the light? Oil of the Holy Spirit. See, oil and Holy Spirit are synonymous. Then the church, for a long time, has been a hollow, golden candlestick. No oil, but a hollow vessel, like having a form of godliness, right? Isn't that, wouldn't you call that a form of godliness? You know, the way he told it in the billet. It has a form of godliness, but there's no oil in the lamp. So it denies the power thereof, And that's what's wrong. Come on now. You know what a lamp is like when it runs out of oil. Well, more than just light goes out. When Grandma's kerosene lamp went out of oil, yeah, it smokes and stinks. And that reminds me of a lot of churches. Smoky, stinky. You know what I'm talking about, see? In other words, burning the wick without the oil. You can't burn the wick without the oil. You get a lot of smoke, you get a lot of stink. It just makes the whole... I remember those little glass, what they call them, chimneys, that they fit on there, and it would get carbon all around. And I used to love to play with that chimney. And I'd play with that wick, and I'd run it up and down. And you know what would happen, don't you? Pretty soon I'd get it just a little too far. Out it would go, and Grandma would be so interested. Because then there would be this black stuff all over the inside of that glass chimney. And then she would try to teach me not to do that. And she would clean it out and get it ready. But after a while, Grandma learned and never bothered to clean it out till I left. That's when I first learned that when it goes out, it makes a lot of smoke and a lot of stink. Does anybody here witness with that? Do you know, anybody remember those days? All right. That's the way the church is without the power of the oil of the Holy Spirit. The church is the candlestick. As we read on about the candlestick, let's go to chapter 5, verse 6. Revelation 5, verse 6. Back out of Isaiah, back into Revelation. We've already read 4, 5, haven't we? Proving that the seven lamps are the seven spirits. Now we'll go to 5, 6. And see one other parallel about what's equal to what. You know, I suppose we could have drawn this chart with three parallels, couldn't we? Church, candlestick, seven spirits, eyes of the Lamb. Four. There had been four columns and what all are to do. We're going to pick all these symbols up later on. It may sound to you right now like I'm spending a lot of time on symbols, but friend, I got to get this established real solid in our mind because we're going to see every one of these symbols again in Old Testament and New. We're going to have to understand what they're talking about. Okay, in 5:6 is what it says. I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having what? Seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. That's why we drew this picture so strangely up in the upper right-hand column. It's a picture of a lamb with seven horns. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven eyes, seven lamps. The lamps are the seven eyes of the Lamb. The lamps are the seven spirits of God. The lamps are the seven churches. The seven churches are the seven spirits of God. The seven churches are the eyes of the Lamb. Now here's a new one. The churches are the eyes of the Lamb. Well, we know what the Lamb symbolizes. What did John the Baptist say the Lamb was? Who is he? The Lamb of God. Say his name. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. How does the Lamb of God see? That's what we've got to come to now. The Lamb of God is receiving His sight through the churches. Obviously, when Jesus was here, He had two eyes, just like all the rest of us. Now, in a symbolic way, He's receiving from the seven churches. Am I making sense on this now? Every one of these, all these, they're all hooked together. Now, though they aren't really all hooked together by a single verse, you got to get several verses. Then when you get all the verses in a row, you see that all these things are equal. They line up the same. Now we'll go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 and get the story of the two witnesses.
Who are the two witnesses? Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Three things that he is to measure. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Everybody wants to know, who are the two witnesses? They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. Now we see that the two witnesses are two olive trees and two candlesticks. We already know who the candlesticks are. Who are the candlesticks? He just told you in 1:20, chapter 1, verse 20. The candlesticks are the seven churches. So here we are, these two witnesses, two candlesticks, standing before the Lord here of the earth. Two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Well, some people are expecting two real live flesh and blood people. We'll say like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. I've heard that kind of thing. And they're expecting one of these days a tremendous move of God, and these guys are going to stand up, and the Russians are going to come down and kill them. They're going to lay dead on the street 3.5 days. All the television cameras will be focused on them. Everybody can watch them laying dead on the street. And then in 3.5 days, they'll stand up, and the Spirit of life will come into Billy Graham and Oral Roberts again, and then Jesus will come. How many have heard that kind of the basic idea? Well, don't think so. I don't think that's right. It makes a nice story. And it was neat to have television and so that, you know, we could see all these guys laying down. But let's read on, and then we'll see what these are symbols for. Four, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What's the name of the great city where our Lord was crucified? And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great seismos.
Praise God.
Okay. We had that lesson last week. And the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded. And we remember what happened when the 7th angel sounded. a great voice from heaven began to say, the kingdoms of this earth are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.